Laura Long lives in Charlottesville, Virginia, but she grew up in West Virginia. She recalls going to visit her grandmother while traveling from Buchanan to Clarksburg. Her grandmother lived near a place called Peel Tree. She says the image of that place stayed with her for years until she was ready to write her first novel.
Peel Tree is a spot of a town that was on the road to Clarksburg from Buchanan that we had passed through when we were going to my grandmother's house. And I love the name of it. And I think writing in the car, I would be half dreaming, and the sense of a tree peeling, I think, just stayed in my imagination for decades. So I just love the name and the sense of peeling away layers and stories being layers and layers of a reality and layers of a family.
The book is called Out of Peel Tree, and it's a collection of stories about an extended family that lives in parts of West Virginia. The stories range in tone from humorous to tragic and follow the lives of characters in one particular extended family as they struggle with love and loss. There's a matriarch to the family, a grandmother, who appears in several of the stories. Long says the character is loosely based on her own grandmother.
I think all novelists, fiction writers, they usually say they write about people they know, but they're composites of people. So there's, for example, there's no person in here who's, you could say that is person X or person Y. But I revered my grandmother, and my sense of my respect for my grandmother and grandfather helped me be fascinated by what it meant to grow old in time, which is one of the big mysteries of what happens to us over time. So when I started the book, I wanted to write about an old woman, and was partly from seeing my grandmother.
The stories occur over a period of several years, and the reader follows several characters as they age. These stories deal with family loyalty, hope, and love. Long reads one of the stories. It's the first one in the book.
Corina is the character in the first story, and it tells about a scene and time in her life when her life changed, which fits overall with the book, and that each chapter is about a turning point in the life of one of the characters. Mm-hmm. Remains, Corina. Oriole Street curled back from Light Avenue, rose and twisted, fell, twisted again, and ended at the edge of weeds, an old grape arbor, and a ramble of wild roses. Corina lived at the end of Oriole Street and what had been a caretaker's house, and the overgrown field had been the grounds of a mansion. The mansion had burned down. A few blackened bricks from the chimney remained, and in the field was a stone bench, curved in such a way that the people sitting there touched knees. Corina had no cats and did not brew pots of herbal tea. She did not have a loom or a godmother, and she was as ordinary-looking as a blade of grass. She had a lover, and they ate eggs together in the morning. To her, his whistle, gait, and way of stirring soup were as familiar as a childhood rhyme. One day her lover decided to go on a journey. He had read many fairy tales when he was a boy, and he felt that to be a man he must have an adventure. He sent her a picture, a fish, that stared out of solemn, barred faces. Another card showed tiers of bleached villas perched on a cliff between two blue lines, the sky and the sea. Corina searched this picture for a sign of wind, but found no trees or people or laundry hung to dry. On the table in her kitchen, under a window gripped by ivy, the postcards leaned hot and vivid against a vase. They did not fade. She imagined herself the curtain, feeling the wind blowing her in and out. The electric clock burbled when the long hand passed over the short one. Butter clogged a slice of bread. The window cracked in the corner. The edges of the wild roses in the vase wrinkled into brown. And Corina felt herself to be, in fleeting moments which had the slow texture of a dream, anything she saw. She didn't know what to think about this. She was the picture of a fox on the wall, watching a woman sweep the kitchen floor. Then she was inside a villa in the postcard. She heard the sea rise and fall. Sand filtered through the screened window. The walls were whitewashed and rough. Her lover walked in the door with their burlap sack over his shoulder. The threads were the same brown crinkle as his hair. He pushed the sack under the single bed with the white sheet and white pillow. He lay down and wouldn't tell her what was in the sack. There was a nail on the wall over the bed that nothing hung on. When the moon rose in the purple sky and was framed in the window, Corina tried to feel herself the moon, but couldn't. Her lover's breath slowed and steadied. Corina pulled out the sack, carried it to the doorstep, sat down, and untied the string at the top. Inside, the sack was half filled with small, dried leaves. They smelled sharp and unfamiliar. They crumpled when she touched them and left gray-green dust on her fingertips. Her lover was standing behind her, his knees pressed into her back. "Why did you open it?" he asked. "Because I've missed you." "I don't want you here," he said. And she was back in her house again, gazing at the vase of wild roses. Although there wasn't a breeze, two petals fell off. Corina picked them up and rolled them between her fingers. They felt like newly washed skin. Just when the roses were beginning to die, they had the sweetest smell, delicate and dense, the trace of longing that remains after hope disappears.
Laura Long says she first thought she would like to be a writer when she was a young elementary school student. She wrote a poem that inspired her.
When I was in third grade, we were instructed on how to write a poem. And I wrote a poem about a candle that had a handle and wore a sandal. And in third grade, I was so delighted that I could create this through language that I believed in it. I believed in the reality of what I had created in words. So I wanted to become a writer after realizing it was magic, that language had magic in it.
Long says she still feels that magic when she writes today. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.